very much. Paul, thank you for asking me here. For inviting me to come here. This is to do with... Is it on?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can all hear me anyway. I'm not sure you actually need it. I don't know if any of you were listening to Bob Geldof talking to Dave Byrne last night. Yes. One of the best interviews I've ever heard about God.
God?
Is that on the radio?
No, it's the television. It's a series of interviews he's been doing for quite a long time now. But Bob Geldof, last week he had the man from Virgin Atlantic, what's his name? Branson.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, it's a bit bland with it, but Bob Geldof was absolutely fantastic last night. And he said things that I've been thinking for a very long time. It was great. And he used fuck and he used, you know, just great. And Gabor's last question every time is, if you're wrong, if everything you've been taught is like everything you believe, you know, that there's no whatever, and you go up and you find out that stuff you were taught at school actually turned out to be true and there was a God, what would you say to God? And one of the things about it, was that the best you could do? Give me a break. You all powerful, you know, marvellous God. And this was it. That's absolutely great. Anyway, let's start from the back of the book. Not from the very back of the book. And I'm going to read some short points to start with. And then I'm going to move on to two pantoons. And then we don't know where we're going to go after. This one is called The End of the Affair. Hot, anxious dread all through Jardin de Tullier to the Place de la Concorde to behead what was already dead. I live on Green Street, which is, oh, let me tell you about it. It's, you go up Barrack Street, and at the traffic lights where it meets Old Bandon Road, you turn left. And once upon a time it was called Gallows Green Lane, and it actually was the route to the execution, public execution ground. So there used to be a prison on South, well actually there were two prisons. There was a prison on Southgate Bridge and there was a prison on Northgate Bridge. Anyway, the prisoners are obviously, presumably, from Southgate Bridge were carted up Barrack Street, left onto Gallows Green Lane, and executed on a kind of triangular area. It's built over now, but to the left you have Greenmount School, and the executions ranged from hang drawing and quartering to hanging and burning, eventually just hanging, and then by the mid-1800s they decided, you know, that was that, you know, they stopped, and the place was, they changed the name of that area to try and hide, or to try and just kind of camouflage what had been going on there. And there was, where the houses are built now on, if you go up, well, it's council estate, they used to just throw the bodies in there. So I would. But it has been found when people have been building houses, and I'm not surprised that there are a load of bodies up there. And there might be a body under my house that could, or you know, where I live. Anyway, Green Street is at the top of our street. This is a short little piece, view from Green Street, November 04. The afternoon's moon is a huge fluorescent glow over Tower Street, lighting the evening's turnerist temeraire sky over St. Finbarr's. Loads of beauty and lots of death. Sappho prepares. The night is early, dressed in silken blue. The house sighs with unused sheets. Unraveled. I want to be Penelope and weave a tapestry for every lover on the brink and place my gauche cart in the unfinished center. Evening. It's a self-portrait to 1995. But it comes from way back. Anyway, I sit dressed in jealous green in the venomous heat of an orchard, in one hand a bruised apple, in the other nothing. Arriving Doolin, February 1992, for Hawley, RIP May 1994. The sea eased itself against the coast as we eased ourselves against the counter, drinking music borne in on the waves, intoxicated by the calm, hushed, clear Atlantic. Then he eased into the night, like a man into his own heaven. The only poem I've written for my son. Your second year to heaven. Spring came early last year with you between the trees where the sun streamed low but brilliant, and crackling frost had melted in patches, steaming. The lime buds in January you kissed into bloom, so that in summer the avenue was an even greener green, the sky bluer and you taller. And spring came early last year with you. They're getting longer. This one's called Magician. A touch that depth charged through sleep, probed persistently, flaring baffled memories of an Arabian night. A kiss that plunged to thighs that opened sesame to cavernous sensations of now, and slow and soft tongued, and slowly, softly rippled down towards Aladdin's wick. I wonder what that's about. Now, I've written two pantoums, and I'm going to read both of those now. The first one is A Journey. Sorry. And the second one is kind of a love poem. Well, it's not a love poem, it's an empty love poem. Urs is that. Prayer is better than sleep. Moroccan's morning call, daring the sun to creep and the desert sand to crawl. Moroccan's morning call, urging us to rise, and the desert sand to crawl to the cloudless desert skies, urging us to rise. As distant mountains soar to the cloudless desert skies, beyond Sahara's door, as distant mountains soar, we'll climb to Tichka Pass, and beyond Sahara's door, a welcome green oasis. We'll climb to Tichka Pass, up on Hercules' pillars, a welcome green oasis in the wide, dry expanse. Up on Hercules' pillars, the land behind the sun, in the wide, dry expanse, not to venture further than the land behind the sun, where the gods placed Atlas, to venture further none. A warning to all races, where the gods placed Atlas and women cannot cry. A warning to all races, there your bones will dry, and women cannot cry within a Berber graveyard. There your bones will dry, where the land is hot and hard within a Berber graveyard. I felt our insignificance where the land is hot and hard, felt the utter extreme. I felt our insignificance on a lonely desert road, felt the utter extreme beauty of the world. On a lonely desert road, driving to the setting sun, the beauty of the world. We may never be again driving to the setting sun. Down the purple amethyst way, we may never be again on those heights of red, red clay. Down the purple amethyst way to the red, red torrid city. On those heights of red, red clay, I look again and see distant mountains soar, daring the sun to creep beyond Sahara's door. Prayer is better than sleep. I was talking to Jennifer earlier and I was telling her about a poem that Greg Delancey had. Oh my God! I said Greg. Greg, I don't know who. Jesus Christ. Ian already. One night I was telling Jennifer about one night that I pushed this under Greg's door and he came up to my house and we talked about it and he was nudging it here and there, just said little bits and pieces. But Greg kind of said, yeah, not a lot, and don't change anything, because if you pull one line out, you're going to unravel the whole thread of that. Anyway, this is the second pantoon. It's called Watering the Nasturtiums. Sunday afternoon dissonance disturbs the quiet air. The browsing insect sense there's no sweetness there. Disturbing the bright air with vicious words that sting, there's no sweetness there. A hollow, empty thing. With vicious words that sting, all brash and gaudy colour, a hollow empty thing, aging yellow flower. All brash and gaudy colour, has the fool plucked another aging yellow flower, another ersatz lover. The fool has plucked another, overpowered by the scent, another ersatz lover to succumb to their spent, overpowered by the scent. Languous amongst the lotus, they succumb to their spent, empty crops of pathos. Languous amongst the lotus, intoxicated yet again, empty crops of pathos, upturned to fill with rain, intoxicated yet again, the browsing insect sense that regret will fall as rain on Sunday afternoon dissonance. I I'm going to read things that I haven't read for a long time. Not that many. The first one is called Il Sasso di Dante.
What does it mean?
Did you say that?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Il Sasso di Dante. Something of Dante.
It's Latin, yeah?
Well, it's Italian.
Yes. Are you having
okay. It's the pub, really, that Dante used to drink in. That's what it's called, it's Sasso di Dante. And I was in this with Jerry Murphy and myself, we were in, obviously in Florence, and we were in the, it was a restaurant, cum pub actually, and a small little place, and around the walls there were pieces from the Inferno, just written up. Dante, outside the Duomo, having done his penance, was waiting to sin again. As we passed in mid-evening, when it's neither day or night, and shadows stalked at loon, he winked and nudged us towards the hostelry to the left and behind, where grappa was loaded into shot glasses, and the maitre made us sing. No sign of Beatrice there. Fiesole All Blue, that's the name of the village that we went up to in the mountains, where the Romans, sorry, the Florentians? Yeah, Florence. They used to get out of the summer heat. Blue bar, blue sky, over Tuscany. Blue lamp burning behind my eyes. I have not shed one tear for you. I am building a dam to hold blue water. This is an old one. Midnight at the studio. A trickle of water on the dark hairs of your chest, under the shirt, a salt of meandering rivulet, running down to wash Magdalene kisses from the taut muscles of your hips. Blue sparks arc from the bench and throw light on a metal goddess holding more fascination in one cold breast than all our nights of perspiration and welding. I'm just going to read one more from this that I very, very rarely read. In fact, I don't know if I've ever read this out loud. It's called Albatross. I'm an albatross bent around your neck, clamoring to drown you out. Especially now that you're further away, I can't gull cry you into listening. Listen. Last night, I almost slept with your brother. Perched on your head, quiet at last, reasoning with my ego that shooting is the only way out of it. Use your crossbow and aim for the heart. Within another season, I expect this death and sin thing to disappear like me over the horizon. Journeys in Kathmandu. The first one is called Driving Home to Charlie. Late afternoon in the valley. The din from a thousand horns in the dusty air. Stuck on the gridlocked bridge. Teeming poverty packed between. Trudging or cycling amidst the makeshift stalls over the holy Begmati. Now a trickling sewer. Today's pollution pall had gathered along with the dead heat and stench from the river. I glanced into the traffic, bound for Tanal, and from my taxi saw another with young women. One leaned out the window and vomited. It was black, and I was mesmerized. She caught my eye, and in stunned humiliation, hid her face in her hands, sinking into the dark interior. I looked ahead, hoping the traffic would move. This is called Kirtipur, The Legacy. On the summit of Kirtipur, sickened by the driver's speed and the plunging drop below, I couldn't concentrate on the instrument the old man displayed. I walked off the vertigo through medieval and almost deserted lanes, paved with herringbone bricks between ancient houses, closed and mute, with doors of dark salwood and beautifully carved shutters, the first stronghold of the valley. Kirtipur, city of glory, now neglected and still pitied since the Gurkha king centuries ago robbed its spirit. Besieged and helpless, expecting amnesty, Kirtipur surrendered, but its fate was savage humiliation. The lips and noses of every man and boy were hacked off, saving only musicians, skill on the Bensurai flute, or the Chennai pipe, or the Sringa horn. 80 pounds of flesh was brought before the king. I tucked the guidebook in my pocket, and leaving the shade of Uma Maheshwar, heard the twang from the old man's lyre. He urged me to buy, but already blood was dripping down through his fingers onto the wood. I will be reading about three more pieces now. I have for, I don't know, probably since I was born. Well, no. I don't know. You know, when you begin to kind of see your face in the mirror, instead of that's a problem with my face. And I finally wrote a poem about it. Sorry, my glasses are. Guess they have to get stronger and stronger. This is called Countenance Mine. What unfortunate features. When serious, look suicidal. When happy, an idiot. Regularly I get from the guy at the bar, it might never happen. And what I think expressionless must be obvious despair. A joke from the guy at the bar contorts my fizz to a grinning grotesque, and I guess, what a face! There it is again, in the bookie's window, in the M&S mirror, looking up from the lee, balanced on the blunt edge of almost beautiful and downright plain. So plain at dawn, it stops the clock. Less plain by noon, with a little paint. Plain, pretty by six, but beautiful by seven. two more poems. This is called Memorial to 6 Million. Pat Cotter sent it to Berlin for the Zebra Poetry Festival once. Adam. And Adam produced him. He took me around on a Sunday and we visited all the very fiercely historical area of central Berlin around the Brandenburg Gate, etc. And we went to see whatever you can see there. Well, some of it, not all of it. This is called Memorial to 6 Million. And just a little note that it's a stone's throw from the wall. Checkpoint Charlie, Hitler's bunker, Brandenburg Gate and the Reichstag. And there's a memorial, obviously, Holocaust memorial. This is the dead zone, a virtual cemetery. Thousands of gunmetal, grey, plastic, concrete cellae, grounded, rigid. I look, but there is no name to this. See, this solid fluid, monolithic main that now fills the cold war space. Wading slowly into the swell, I'm not afraid as the water climbs over my head. Mid-ocean's too deep to see the horizon. It's peaceful down among the satin stones, sinking into cool velvet. There are no names on these headstones, impenetrable slabs, immutable, immovable, engulfing petrified waves, but we know who they were. There's a softness to this hardness, a touch of conscience, an undulating, sorry, contrite concrete, an acknowledgement. I'm still breathing, emerging from the tide of the notion of death into a warm autumnal sun. Hi. The last poem I'm going to read is called The Dying Art of Sociability. And again, the opening is down to Pat Copper sending me to Shanghai. And Alan Tickley insisted that we went down the river. Great experience. But the other two experiences were my own. The Dying Art of Sociability. There we were on the Huangpu River, with the sun sinking on mystic Shanghai, cruising downstream between stately Bund and spectacular Pudong. And all the time, a woman prattled loudly in Russian with her hand conjoined to her ear. Without once looking up, she yakety-yacked past the Pearl Tower and glittering architecture. Her mouth kept moving even as she fell backwards to the floor, even as the sun moved down and the city lit up like a giant dazzling screen. In the down corridor by the cathedral in Malaga, in a nearby room made of tissue, a woman nattered non-stop for hours in a one-sided Spanish harangue. Then finally, like at last seeing land, a man's tired voice uttered one sentence, and the engine cut out as perhaps he gently prized the phone from her hand. There's an old coffee house in the centre of Budapest, imperially elegant and sedately charmed. Its lofty rooms are crammed with centuries of talk, with opinions and arguments and theories that wafted with smoke from the marble tables below to the high stucco ceilings and brass chandeliers. The hum of Hungarian voices rose and fell, inspired in the atmosphere of elegance. Intellect. Today, by a tall window, three young people sit together, all in animated conversation, but not with each other. Going to finish this. I'm a huge fan of BBC Radio 4, BBC Radio 4. And I came across this, and I'm going to ask you as well. If you had only enough breath left for 99 words, what would you write? This is not a poem. This is 99 words. If you had enough breath left for 99 words. November 1987. An hour past midnight. The midwife done, two beautiful eyes opened incredulously, looking at me from the incubator. 25th of April, 2008. Searching for you amongst the crowds at arrivals at Trebleven, and watching you pace as nervously as me. July, late 90s. Swarm appears at the brow of the hill, and we dive for cover, shutting doors and windows, and hide inside a hive, thrilled and afraid. Sometime in the early 90s, Van the Man at volume, we're singing and bouncing on the beds. Brilliant. Thank you for the days, but save the day.